I've entitled it, Arm Yourselves. Arm Yourselves. What's the message entitled today, Luke? You weren't reading your Bible. I was looking. I said it three times already. For the fourth time, please arm yourself. Not enough of you to hide, and if there were 50 or 100 of you, you still couldn't hide.
Amen.
Is that right, Mackenzie? Arm yourselves. What's the message title? John 10:10. Turn in your Bibles, please. St. John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10.
The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Stop there. The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. Who's the thief?
The devil.
The devil. Okay. That's his task. That's his goal.
Yeah.
That's his purpose.
Yeah.
That's his plan. That's his intention.
Yeah.
Who's he going to steal and kill off? He thinks he's going to steal and kill off you and me.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's going to steal and kill off God.
Yeah, he does.
If he steals and kills off us, he's stealing and killing off God.
Yeah.
We belong to God, the word says. We are part of his family. Our inheritance is in God. So we are to arm ourselves. So he comes to steal, kill and destroy. The verse goes on to say, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Problem is, we have difficulties with that latter half.
Yeah.
We don't appear to have problems with the first part of that verse, do we?
No.
Well, the devil doesn't, anyway.
No.
Does he? He seems to be managing quite easily to steal, kill and destroy. And so one thing you and I have to realise is that we and the world will always be at war. I'll say that again. That we and the world will always be at war with each other.
Yeah.
Till Jesus finally comes on that great and final victorious day. So there's one thing that you and I have to realise most of all is that when you and I were born, we were born into a world of war. Now I know Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. He had to leave some peace with us because there is war that is going on. There is a constant battle. There is a warring for your life today. There is a warring going on for your soul today. Is that true or not? Because you can guarantee that during this last week, you've done something wrong. You've had an impure thought. You've made your mistakes. You've done something along the way has happened to you. And you felt like you've failed. You felt like you've made a mistake. You felt that you could do better. And the enemy is constantly attacking you. Physically, you may have been feeling ill. Unwell. Why? God did not create us to be sick. He made us in his own image. God is not sick. God is not a sickness bearer. God is not the one who carries sickness in his very being. God did not create us to be like that. So there is a natural warring going on there in our bodies. And so we have to arm ourselves. And one thing you and I have to realize that it is impossible for you and I to do, and that is to retreat. There is no retreat. God has not got the bugler standing on one side ready to blow the bugle for the retreat.
Nope.
He has the trumpeter standing on one side with silver trumpets ready to blow, move forward.
Amen.
But there is no one prepared with a trumpet with a retreat note.
That's right. It's not
learned. So, if we're not to retreat, then we must have to arm ourselves.
Yeah.
We must arm ourselves with the Word of God, with faith. And we must continually to work in the things of God. Now I'm probably not going to go too deep into this, but I'm just going to throw some thoughts your way today. And just leave you to chew on them and see where you go from there. So let's start. Why is life so hard? You've never said that before, have you? Hmm? You've never ever uttered them words, have never passed your lips, have they? Huh? You might have even said them this week. Hands up who said it this week. Why is life so hard? See? That's right. Okay. It's not a failure to ask the question. Is it?
No.
It's a right question to ask. Why is life so hard?
Yeah.
You know, some people say, "Oh, you know, I've been trying to lose weight for months, and I just can't do it. Why is life so hard?" Now, you to some people, what are you waving your hand at, Edwin? Did I hit a sore point? Did the finger touch the belly? The fat belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it says in Scripture. You're carrying it for him, are you? Right. Oh, don't overdo it. Give your fat to the Lord. It belongs to him anyway, so don't hang on to it. You know, and some people can find it a real burden and a problem to them. You know, everybody wants to look like the Twiggies of this world in one sense, you know. Even she's put weight on now. She looked a lot better for it. See on the Marks and Spencer's adverts. Think, good gracious me, she looks younger now than she did then. Now she's put some weight back on, she looked like skin and buttons. You know, and everybody wants to, you know, get down into a size, I don't know what it is. I've begun to put some weight on. I think I'm going to have to get some elastic in the trousers or something. Maybe it's exercise I need, I don't know. Some of us, you know, might have made a career shift at some stage. And wondered if we'd done the right thing. Is it really working out for us?
Yeah.
Did I do the right thing? You know? Should I have stood where I was and stayed where I was and just stayed there? Anybody ever thought that? Would I have been better off staying where I was? Too late, you can't go back.
Amen.
God doesn't intend you to go back. All this is part of the learning process and equipping and arming yourselves. Some of us have said, well, okay, I'm going to serve God 100% and that's it. And, you know, get into it and do what I... And you've had visions and dreams and desires and goals. And you've never actually yet got to them. Are you in the right place? Are you doing the right thing? You ask those sort of questions. Did I make a mistake? Is it my own imagination? Am I just imagining it for myself? Or is it really God? They're all questions that we ask. Why? Because we doubt ourselves, don't we? Not necessarily doubting God, but maybe we doubt in ourselves. Sometimes we can get problems in marriages. Can't seem to do the right thing or say the right thing. Be better off if you hadn't got married. You know, you hear people say that. Some of you, if you hadn't got married, you'd have been such a wreck. They want to know what to do with you. God never created us to be alone. So God wants you to be together, encouraging one another. Not just in marriage, but in right relationships, loving one another and encouraging one another. So life is hard, isn't it? Why did I do this? Look what it's left me with now. Whose fault is it? Is it mine? Is it yours? Is it somebody else's? You know, and you can ask all those questions. But we have to keep moving forward and we have to keep moving on. Yeah. Yes, we have to have our faith. But sometimes even our faith seems to just fall short of the things that we want in God. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
I have in my faith walk. Always, you know, there are times when it just seems to fall short of some promises that God has given or appears to have given. And then we beat ourselves, we question ourselves, we even question God at times. We'll even shout at God. Nobody done that, obviously, I can tell. The Word of God talks to us of freedom, abundant life, peace like a river, joy unspeakable and full of glory. But how much of that do I have? How much of that do you have? How much freedom do you have? What abundance of life do you have? What peace do you have? What joy do you have? Questions to us. These are all questions you've asked yourself.
Yeah.
Aren't they? But you're still here. Why? Why? God called you here, did he? Right. So you're stuck. You can say, well, I'm stuck. Or, I'm stuck here. And there's a difference.
Yeah.
The attitude, the way it's said, that drives you forward.
Yeah.
You and I can read the New Testament and we read what Paul wrote and what Paul did. And in some cases, he just sounds like a madman. Mm. Don't he? The things that Paul did. He just sounds like a madman. Today, he'd be labelled an absolute fanatic. He'd be labelled a nutcase. They'd be fetching a van and a straitjacket and looking for somewhere to commit him to. And yet when we put ourselves at the side of him, many of us just look like children who are being held back a few grades. If we were to even sort of begin to try and match ourselves against Paul, we're like, we can't hold a candle to him, can we? For the fire, the determination, for what he suffered. And yet he said, I have fought a good fight. And I have finished the race. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And it is a fight. It is a fight. It's not the Christian walk is not for wimps. I hear now they've changed in the latest songbook they've changed the word of onward Christian soldiers marching after war. It's now onward Christian persons. No, it's not. It's onward Christian soldiers marching after war. You know, where is the world going? I mean, did you see in the paper, or you'll have seen, if you didn't see it in the paper, it'll have been on the news, wasn't it? That the latest Pope has happened to mention something that was said in the 14th century? About the Muslims. He was only repeating, now they're up in arms. They want a public apology. Well, tough. They've been offended. Get over it. You know, and it's time that the church stood up and said, we've been offended by the Muslims, we want an apology. Will we get one? Will we dare do it? The society that we are now breeding goes against it. Yesterday I did something that I've not done for a millennium. Bought a newspaper. Seems that way anyway. A decade, must be. Bought a newspaper. I got mad. It infuriated me. My blood pressure went up. And that was only in the first three pages. My God, I was ready to lynch somebody. The Home Office has now said that if the police chase somebody and that person gets hurt, and this person's a criminal and they get hurt, through health and safety now they can sue the police. My God, what are we coming to? Leave your doors unlocked. Put a notice on the door. All thieves cordially invited. Come in and nick what you want. Because the cops won't do note. Because the hands are tied. I'm just thinking, what society are we bringing? What message are we sending? My blood pressure went up. We were only saying this last few days, I think, even at work. Somebody came into my house stealing. Night time. They may not wake up in the same place they arrived. I'm sorry, but, you know, I'll give things away, but don't try and steal off me, because that is one of my buttons. They say, well, you go to court, you might go to prison. Okay. But you see, that's the fear that they raise over you. You might go to prison. Well, tough. Understand, you know, it's time that fear went the other way.
Amen.
It's time that we stood up for what is right,
yeah,
and not bent the knee to what's wrong.
Yeah.
Because that is what we are doing as a society. So that was just reading the newspaper. I only got the first three pages. I thought, better not read anymore. Read enough. Huffing and puffing I was. This cannot be on you. Yeah, it's fit for bird droppings. I noticed there was an email address to send comments about what the Pope had said. What do you think he should do? So I'm going to send an email. He should not apologise. He should stand the ground. The Church of Jesus Christ should stand its ground. And there's another email address for the reporter who wrote the one on the police. I think I'll send him an email. You know, go for it. He's not, has he? Oh, God. You see? Right. I'm just repeating what's been said. The problem is, that's right. And if they, you see, but all the time, you see, they're trying to turn the thumbscrews on the Christian faith. No way. No way. That's, yeah, they want us to bounce straight. Just a few days ago, I had an email sent to me. And it was from it was of one of their religious leaders, and the things he was saying were obnoxious, and the things he was saying about Christianity, and there is a war going on against Christianity. Their aim is to take over the world. That Islam will rule the world. Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
Amen.
But lest you stand, lest you be counted, lest you make your name known, lest you declare, it won't happen in our generation. We have to stand for it.
Amen.
We have to push back. It's time to arm ourselves. Stop backing off. In America, if you said that, they'll be getting the guns out. We're ready, you know. But it's by the word of God and by our faith that we're to arm ourselves. You know, when you press your faith for healing and it doesn't seem to work, doesn't seem to work the way you want it to work, it seems to be tossed about and swept away by a current. It just seems to get driven away. If we're not careful, we give in, don't we?
Yeah.
We lose heart. You've never done that? Never felt like you've given up, given in? We have, haven't we? Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but though he fall, he shall not be cast down. Though we give in and we drop down, God still picks us up.
Amen.
And we get up and we move on.
Yep.
And it's constantly about getting up and moving on.
It says,
at some stage we will climb out of that situation and that circumstance and we'll move on. Has God abandoned us?
No.
There are days, though, maybe when you're going through it, you feel like you've been abandoned. David thought it. See, it's not a crime.
No.
It's not a sin to admit your feelings.
No.
You see, so often we think, well, you know, if I admit it, then I'm undermining faith. No, be real about it. Because God knows what you're thinking. Even if you don't speak it out, He knows what's in your heart. So He knows what you're thinking. So you might as well be honest with yourself. You've got a good baseline to work on then, haven't you? Well, this is where I am, God, today. He says, I know, I'm glad you've come to that point. Now we can work from that point. But if you set an imaginary line, this is where I am, Lord, there's nothing firm to stand on. You say, Lord, this is where I am today. My chin's on the floor. I'm struggling with situations and circumstances. And you begin to admit it, and you begin to realise it, and heaven's resources can be made available to you. And you can call down on heaven's resources. You see, if you're not prepared to admit there's something there, you won't call down for the blessings of God. You won't call down for the provisions of God to deal with that situation. Because I'm pretending it's not there. Like Mackenzie. He sees me and I forgive him that look. Closes his eyes. Guess what? Andrew's not there. Well, guess what? Andrew is there. And all Mackenzie's got to do is open his eyes and Andrew will still be there. You see? He's learning. It doesn't just go away when we close our eyes. Does it, Mackenzie? He's not sure. Well, it doesn't, I'll tell you. Yeah? Doesn't go away. It'll still be there. The devil, just because you close your eyes, does not just go away. Have to deal with him. It may take more than a day. It may take whole of your life. But that's okay. Because God is with you for the rest of your life.
Yes.
How long's the rest of your life? Thank you. Forever. Forever. When did eternity start for you? When you got born again. That's right. That's when eternity started for John. Every one of us have a different start date for our eternity. Yours a bit later. But your eternity has started.
Amen.
You see? Isn't that good? Has God abandoned us? No. Did we not pray enough? Is it just something that we have to accept as part of life? Suck it up, even though it breaks our heart. Those are phrases that people have used. Just get on with it. There is some of that, that we just have to get on with it.
Yeah.
But it means getting on with God.
Yeah.
It means getting on with your faith walk.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to walk through the slough of despond.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to walk that narrow way. Sometimes you have to carry that burden through. It's all part of boot camp. It's all part of training at times. Jesus said, I've come that your burden may be made light. So there is a burden.
Yeah.
Most Christians think that they can march off to war, somebody else will carry the gun, sword and shield for them, and when they get there, come on, give me sword and shield, but by that time you've probably been shot to death or stabbed to death. See, get somebody else to carry it and I'll just waltz through, you see, singing choruses. Well, some people think like that. It would be great, wouldn't it, dancing through the fields. Off to battle we go. E-I-A-D-O, we just won the war. No.
Get shot by your own
soldiers. Yeah, you probably get shot by your own along the way, you see. It does happen. Has happened. The word says we're to arm ourselves. You read Ephesians 6. If we're not careful, we can come to a point where, after a while, all this that is going on just reduces us to a survival mindset.
Yeah. Preach it.
Isn't it? You know, I'm hanging in by the skin of my teeth. I've done all I can do and I'm getting no further forward, you know. I've prayed till I've been to hell and back, and prayed to been to heaven and back, and I've read the word till I can't read it no more. I've spoken it over this and I've spoken it over that. I've spoken it backwards, forwards, inside out and upside down, and it still don't work. The word says that cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, it shall return.
Yeah.
I don't know how long many days is. Do you know that? I don't know how many days it has to be. But you have to go to the end, but it shall return.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where you have to fix your sights.
Yeah.
You know, we've all been told that you matter to God. He cares for you. The word says he does.
Yeah.
Haven't we? Have you ever felt, well, there are days when I'm not sure he knows my name today. Does he really care? If he really cared, he wouldn't let me go through this situation that I'm going through now. If he really cared, he wouldn't let this be happening to me now that's happening to me. You've not said that, have you? Why should I go through it? What have I done? Why me? Why don't so-and-so go through it? They always seem to go waltzing through the daisy patch. You know? Well, don't worry, there's a cow pat in there somewhere and they'll slip on it, don't you worry. I've just stood in it. Might look good, but watch out. But really, we do deep down believe that God does care for us. That's why you're still here. That's why you're still hanging in sometimes by the skin of your teeth. That's why you're hanging on for dear life. Because you know, if you don't hang on for dear life, there's only death. There ain't anything else available that's any good. In God there's life. In the devil there's death. In God there's life, in the devil there's death. And so you hang in there. You have to take hold of that. But you have to arm yourselves. Like I said, you can look at the TV, you can look at the news, you can look at the newspaper. Life can be brutal. We've just gone through the process this last few days of remembrance of the Twin Towers coming down. 9/11 means more to me than just the Twin Towers. 9/11 reminds me that my mum died on 9/11. So when, you know, and they're going to celebrate 9/11 for ever and ever. And every time they celebrate 9/11, it doesn't just remind me of aeroplanes flying into some Twin Towers and that a number of thousands of people died. But it reminds me that somebody very close to me also died. And then one of the questions come back, why didn't I do more? Why couldn't I do more? Why didn't she live? Why wasn't my faith strong enough? Why wasn't my faith great enough? Why didn't God heal her when He'd healed so many others through my hands? Why didn't God heal her? And every year, those questions come ringing back. My faith is tested. My faith is challenged. Why? My calling is challenged. Why? Even the thoughts come through, why bother? Then I have to somehow get back to the fact of arm yourself. Arm yourself. How do we pray? Let's turn to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Verse 18. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 18. Thank you, John.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Verse 19.
19. Yeah. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you.
Yeah.
To bring you to a place to set free those who are downtrodden.
Amen.
Yeah. God wants you and I to have eyes that can see.
Yeah.
He wants us to have eyes that see through what is going on.
Yeah.
Spiritual eyes. And it's with your spiritual eyes that you then can learn to arm yourselves.
Yeah.
And in arming yourselves, you are preparing for the great battle that will bring down every principality and power that would seek to rule and reign.
Yeah.
And so we can do that. We need clarity, and at times we need it badly.
Yeah.
If you turn to 1 Corinthians 13... Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9, we read,
"For we know in part and we prophesy in part."
Carry on if you would, John, right through to 12 for me.
Right. "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things."
And verse 12.
"For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known."
Yeah. This time we see through a glass darkly. We need to move ourselves forward.
Yeah.
We need to press through. We need to come closer to that place of perfection.
Yeah.
And as we do, we'll not be speaking as children, but we will be speaking with the mind of God.
Amen.
We will be becoming God's equipped man and woman.
Yes. Right.
And in verse 12 it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then," and it's then when we come to that place spiritually that we shall then begin to see face to face.
Amen.
We shall see clearly. Distinctively,
yes.
We shall see exactly what is going on.
Yes.
We shall know what is happening.
Yes.
And we shall be able to deal with the circumstances and situations and bring down the power of the enemy. That is what God is preparing for us.
Yes.
That is where God wants to take us.
Yes.
God is making known his plans to the church, but for some reason the church does not want to take it on board. Do you know why? Because if you act and operate in these areas we're talking about now, you will end up being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You will not get the comfortable seats.
No.
And it seems to be that people just want a comfortable lifestyle. They want it to be comfortable in church.
Mm.
Well, hang on, the word says fight the good fight.
Yeah.
It's a fight.
The
problem with today is they've got the idea now that they can sit in soft chairs and use the computer game and fight the good fight. With a Game Boy. Is that right, Luke? Hey, how's your thumbs? Got calluses on them yet? I've been fighting today, have you? Yeah, what you got? I've got calluses on my thumbs. How did you manage that? Game Boy. My eyes are out on chapel lap pegs, you know. You can talk to them all day while they play a Game Boy. And you can't get a sensible answer out of them. I've been talking to you for an hour. You could offer them £1,000 and they still won't hear you. We had to fight a good fight on, was it Thursday when it rained? And it rained like the billy-o. Well, Grace, when she'd done having fought the good fight, she said, "I've got a blister on my hand." using a brush, driving water back. I didn't have blisters. I was just wet from head to toe. Everything I wore was wet, and I was inside. Yeah, I was ready to neck somebody, by the way.
When the landlord walked in next day,
they were necked. So sometimes fighting, you know, there's effort that has to go into it.
Yeah.
And there's a determination and pushing through that has to go on. Saint Irenaeus said this. Listen to this one. The glory of God is man fully alive.
Whoa.
The glory of God is man fully alive.
Amen.
What did he mean? He means that when you are fully alive, both physically and spiritually, that's when God is glorified.
Yeah. Amen. Woo.
Yeah. And you have to go back to Genesis.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God created man in his own image. What was God doing? He was bringing his glory to the earth. And he was showing his glory of his creation, but he was showing his crowning glory of his creation, man. God was bragging.
Yeah.
God was boasting.
Yeah.
On his creation. And God is still boasting on his creation. Because he sent Jesus to die on a cross.
Yeah.
That he might bring his creation back to its former glory.
Yes.
Because that former glory will show God, show the people and show others around and all creation that God is glorious.
Yes.
And God can only show his glory through mankind.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is, he's destined it that way. That is why he sent Jesus to die on the cross. In John's Gospel, chapter 6 and 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
I am the bread of life. And you have to partake. And that's why we have the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
The Lord's table.
Yeah.
When we partake of Jesus, his divine nature.
Yeah.
His divine life. Mm. His divine spirit and purpose are all fed through us.
Amen.
That we will glorify God.
Yeah.
But regretfully, many Christians today sometimes come to the Lord's table in some churches once a year.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this, your glory's faded by the time 12 months is up. Some do it every month. It's still faded.
Yeah.
And they don't come for his body and blood. They come for tokens. I don't want tokens. You know, when you have an insurance claim, you get tokens, coupons, to go to Currys and Sainsbury's to get what you've been nicked off you through some kid who the cops can't chase, because they'll get prosecuted if this kid gets hurt. See how stupid it is. And all you get in the end is tokens.
Yeah.
What happens if I don't shop at Currys? Go to Sainsbury's. But Sainsbury's don't have what I've had nicked. Well, that's all he can have. Is it? By the time I'd finished with them, I had money in my hand.
Amen.
Listen, folks, don't stand for it. Don't take it. And when you get your money, take your insurance policy somewhere else next time. Oh, I'm radical today. That's what we did. Don't mess me around. Don't mess God around.
Amen.
This is what the world's trying to do. The world's trying to mess God around. I don't know how big people think they are. I don't know how important these people think they are. Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
Come to give you life. And that more abundantly we started off with. But you've got to equip yourself. You've got to arm yourself. John's Gospel, chapter 7. And verse 38.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen. You believe on Jesus.
Yeah.
And the promise is that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. There shall be a flow. And I don't. It means your spiritual being. Out of your spiritual being, because you are a spiritual man.
Mm. Yeah.
Not a person. There's no male and female in God.
Amen.
So don't get offended with the terminology.
No.
Out of your very being, out of you shall flow a stream of living waters. There's life in you.
Yeah.
There's life to give. And you have life to give to others.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you've got to continually keep arming yourself against the doubts, the fears and the pressures of this world. You have a battle going on. You were born into a war,
yeah,
as we said.
Yeah.
The earth is not a peaceful place. And I'm not just talking about natural wars. The biggest war that is going on is a supernatural war for your soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the devil wants you to be lost. The devil wants your soul. He's seeking to rob you from God. He's seeking to rob you of God. And he's seeking to rob the blessings that God has available for you. Proverbs 4 and chapter 23. Proverbs 4 and chapter 23.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
The New American Standard says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life.
Yeah.
A little bit simpler, possibly a little bit clearer. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Guard it, protect it, garrison it. Take arms up. For from it flow the springs of life. There's life in you. There might be some days when you feel like somebody's going to put the plug on it. Somebody's going to drop a rock on the flow and stop the flow. Don't worry, the pressure will build up.
Yeah.
It does. The pressure will build up. And the rock will be lifted off by the pressure of the water in the end.
Yeah, it
might take a bit of a rushing mighty wind and a bit of a sound and a roar, but it will come off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll be under pressure.
Yeah.
But let that pressure build up and let it drive off in that right area.
Amen.
And push back the enemy. That the stones that he puts on you and the stones he sets against you won't stand in the way.
Amen.
He You know, when the water begins to move, nothing stops in its way.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
And yet, it can run through your fingers.
Yeah.
You know, you try and scoop it up and it's... can't do anything with it, can you? You know? You can't make snowballs out of it, can you? You can't make water balls. You have to have something to contain it. But the moment, whatever is containing it, is punctured in any way, it rushes out. It doesn't want to be held back.
No.
And same with the Spirit of God in you. It does not want to be held back. It wants to move forward.
Yeah.
Wants to press on.
Yeah.
Wants to press in.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, so often we think eternal life is coming, don't we? Oh, I've got eternal life coming to me. No. The moment that you got saved, eternal life was there. You're living in your eternity.
Amen.
Thank God it'll always be like this.
Amen.
We're moving on.
Amen.
God has prepared a place for us.
Yes.
God's prepared a place for us and He's preparing us for the place.
Yes.
So often we just think God's prepared a place for us. Yeah. But the thing is, He has to prepare you for the place.
Yeah.
You're going through training.
Yeah, we are.
You're going through cleansing. You're going through washing. You're going through a preparation process.
Yeah.
That you might rule and reign.
Yeah.
You're in a royal family now.
Yeah.
You're of a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
You're of a holy nation.
Yeah.
And so there is a preparation process that goes on in your life and my life to equip you to rule and reign as a royal family.
Praise God.
Not just as anybody,
yeah,
but as the royal family. Luke chapter 18 and verse 29 and verse 30 says, "And he said unto them, Truly I say unto you," I'll go back 1 to 28. Peter said, "Behold, we have left our homes and followed you." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say unto you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brother or parent or children for the sake of the kingdom who shall not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life."
Amen.
So there are rewards for now.
Yes, there are.
I say it again. There are rewards for now.
There are.
And there are rewards that come in the future, but there are rewards for now.
Amen.
But to get those rewards, we have to continually arm ourselves.
Yes.
Eternity means it's unending. It does not mean, the definition for eternity does not mean later.
No.
Because that's what we teach, it's been taught in the church. In eternity, you will have later, what we're saying is, you will have. No. Eternity's now. I'm living in eternity. There will come a point when I will change suits. But I will live in eternity. And eternity is now. And all that I am doing, all that I am, is manifest right through eternity. Eternity is not later.
No.
I mean, there's blessing of some of the old songs. When I get to heaven, gonna walk with Jesus. When I get to heaven, gonna see His face. You know, I mean, it's all later. It's not for later. It's for now. It's now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable year of the Lord.
Yes.
Now faith is.
Yes.
He's a God of the now.
Yes.
Now exists in eternity.
Yes.
As eternity exists in the now.
Yes, it does.
It's not tomorrow. You and I do not know what holds tomorrow, but we do know that we will live tomorrow. whether in this suit or in the other form of a suit. We will live in tomorrow. You know, you can stop saying, well, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. I am guaranteed tomorrow. It may not be on this earth. It may be not in this form. But I am guaranteed it. Life will not stop at the grave. Life will not stop when I stop breathing for me. Because I'm living in eternity.
Yeah.
When I get to the other side, I might still be riding a motorbike. Brought a smile to your face, didn't it? Hey. You won't have to service them neither. Hallelujah. Won't have to get your hands all greased up. You'll get the angels to do it. Needs a service. Needs an oil change. I'm not quite sure what's the other side of the door. But that's okay. I'm not afraid of it neither, because I know I have a faithful, loving God who cares for me. Who gives me good things now, if I'll only see it. The glory of God will only be fully alive when man is fully alive. Something you've got to realise. Something that, you know, God is dependent on you. His glory is dependent on you. It's dependent on Carol. It's dependent on Mackenzie. The glory of God is dependent on you right now. The glory of God is not independent of you anymore. God's happiness and my happiness is tied together. One or two of you thinking about that one. God's happiness and my happiness are tied together. God's joy, my joy, can be tied together. With the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. And the amazing thing is that God has committed himself to me becoming fully alive. God has committed himself to you becoming fully alive. It's not just, well, we'll sort it out later. God is committed to doing it. God is committed to bringing you to the place of being fully alive. And if we really knew this deep down to the bottom of our toes, from the top of our head to the bottom of our toes, no one, nothing, could talk us out of it. And if we really knew that God's glory and we were bound together and nothing can separate us, we'd get excited. And things would start looking up for us, I think. And I'm talking to myself as well. God's the biggest guy in the class. You know, if there's any bullies around, you find the biggest guy, don't you? Go and pal up with this. He's my mate. I'm his mate and he's my mate. If you pick on me, you pick on him. If you pick on him, you pick on him. He'll duff you up. Because I'll stand behind him. And you'll not see me. But you'll feel him. Because he's my mate. He's my pal. He's my buddy. He's my protector. He's my guardian.
Yes.
Daniel's girlfriend's mother thinks I'm hard. She might be right. But she don't know me. Yeah, I am. Do you know why? Because what I want is the best for them. I want to see quality in them. I want to see quality shining out of them. I want to see the glory of God in their lives shining out of them. I want them to set the best standards that anybody can set, because God is in them. And sometimes they have to be pressed. Now they tell me, I heard the other day that the best virgin olive oil, it comes from the first pressing. It's okay. So just remember, when God's pressing on you, He's pressing out the pure oil. And in the same way, if like the Word of God says that we are to have the mind of Christ, well, if God's mind is to press on you to get oil, then guess what? We're after oil. Virgin oil. We're after the best out of you. What we're after? The best. That's what we're after. We're after the best. God is after the best, so we're following in the footsteps of God.
Yeah.
What have we got on offer today?
Lots.
Life.
Yeah.
We've got life on offer. And it goes on right through eternity.
Yeah.
But remember, we're in a war.
Yeah.
The world that we live in is a combat zone. No two words about it. No two ways of thinking about it. It is a combat zone. Every time you go out, the world is against you. Because there's a kingdom of darkness, there's a kingdom of light, and they're clashing against one another constantly. There are violent clashes against the kingdom of God. And it's a bitter struggle unto death. That's what it is. It's a bitter struggle unto death. But you know something? God has planned life. And the kingdom that is going to suffer death is the kingdom of darkness. Because the kingdom of God is going to suffer victory. And you know, God gave each and every one of us a sword. God gave us authority. Why did He do it? Because He gave us so that we would equip ourselves every day to win the war in the midst of a battle. No, this is not Eden. We fell from that. But God has a place. And we're in this battle today. God created man in His own image. And as we realise that more and more and go on with that, we shall see God moving in great might and power in the future in our lives. We hear a lot about original sin, don't we? You know, it's original sin. It runs in your family, and they go all on about it, don't they? Ah, well, it's because the great-great-grandfather, he did this, that's why they're doing that. And so they refer to original sin. Well, hang on. What about original glory?
Amen.
Anybody heard about original glory in the church lately? Has anybody preached on God's original glory? Have you ever heard anybody tell you that God has got an original glory on you right now?
Amen.
Have you heard that? No, but you've heard about your original sin. Because your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather did this, and that means that you're going to do this, 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 and this because of that. Well, what about my Heavenly Father and His glory? His original glory. What about affecting my life?
Amen.
See, we talk so much about the negatives.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know why so-and-so does this? It's because of this, this, and this. Is it? Well, No, it isn't. It's because they've taken their eyes off Jesus. It's because their eyes are not focused and fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's because we've heard all this garbage about you need counselling. Oh, let me counsel with you. You know, 50 quid a session, it'll be all right, won't it? Got a friend in the States, and she every time she feels a bit low, she rings up a counsellor. I don't ask her how much it is. Frightens me. And I think, you must have money to burn. The Holy Spirit's your counsellor. And we're going back to when you were 3 years old. Do you know? I can't remember too much about when I was 3 years old. There are one or two things I can remember. I can remember my sister being born. How old would I be then? Three and a half. I can remember feeding her with a bottle. I can remember the house that we lived in. I can remember when my uncle came to the house to tell my mother, my grandmother had died. I can still see the picture today, right? But any further back than that, you can forget it. Now, maybe some of you may say, well, I can't remember that far back. That's great. But you know, these counsellors... Now, let me take you back to when you were 2 years old. What? Hey? Hang on. When I was 2 years old, I was probably, you know... Well, not quite, but... I would say a lady in my cot, you know, sucking... I'd be sucking on my bottle probably still then. I don't know what I was doing. I haven't got a clue. Put your hand over your mouth when you're coughing. Thank you. See, train a child up in the way it should go and he shall not fail. And so... You know, and they take you back into your past. And they're charging you for this. Lego books. We'll have another session next week. We're getting somewhere now. Where am I getting? What am I getting to? I'm raking up things that I don't even know possibly existed. But, well, you know, a pattern is emerging from this. You're thinking, what are you on? 150 quid an hour, that's what they're on. Of your money. And you hear people, and I mean, all right, it probably doesn't happen as much over here, but in the States, oh, I've got to go and see my counsellor. I'm having a difficult time. Go see God, for goodness sake. Go and have a conversation with the Heavenly Father. Go and have a conversation with God, the wisdom of all wisdom, the knowledge of all knowledge, the peace of all peace, the joy of all joy. Go talk to Him. He'll sort it. Amen. Your council will go broke. They'll have to go and find a proper job. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm being facetious aren't I now, really. But what about His original glory? Read Revelation. Around the throne room. We read it the other week, didn't we? A crystal sea, a rainbow around the throne, and lights and flashes, and seated around the throne, 24 thrones, and seated at the right hand of the Father is Jesus, and there's angels flying to and fro, and there's the glory and the singing and the majesty of God, and there's the glory of God emanating from the throne room.
Amen.
And I'm part of that. That's part of me.
Yes.
When I was born again, it was born in me. It was given to me.
Yes.
Not original sin. God dealt with that.
He
gave me original glory in its place. It burned up all that original sin. But all we can talk about is the past, the failures, and the disappointments. And if I'd had a better start in life, I wouldn't be like I am now. What better start do you need than Jesus? My God! Burn the bridges.
Yeah.
Blow them up.
Yeah, do it.
Move on. Why does a woman long to look beautiful? Do you know why? Because you see, in the beginning, God gave us a crown of beauty. He gave us a crown of beauty. We have a desire to look beautiful. We have a desire, well, most of us, them that really get saved have a desire to look good.
Amen.
Them that still need saving, glory to Jesus. That's when I got on to Daniel about his jeans, didn't it, all the week, and his mother-in-law said, "You're being hard to him. I don't care." Amen. It looks better. Bless him. You see, if I can say I'm proud of my young people, what does God say about them? Hmm? What does God say about them? Yeah. Why does a man hope to be found brave? Because he wants the glory and the honour of God still flowing through his life. That's what it's about. And do you know why? But it's because we remember faintly, just faintly, what we once were. In us, there is still that recognition of what God really created us to be and were. And we are. We are. We've now just got to let it flow. When Jesus was born, and I'll finish with this. When Jesus was born, as far as God was concerned, it was an act of war.
Yeah.
It was a declaration of war.
Yeah.
It was an invasion on the earth.
Yeah.
And the enemy knew it.
Yeah.
And so the enemy sought to kill all the children under 2 years old in Bethlehem. Now then, think about that. When Jesus came, it was a declaration of God of war on the earth. On the sin and the wickedness that the devil had inflicted on mankind.
Yeah.
And he declared war against the enemy, Satan,
yeah,
and all his foes.
Yeah.
And Satan manipulated Herod to kill all the children in Bethlehem under 2 years of age. But let me tell you this. Jesus one day will return on a white horse with his garments dipped in blood. This is a war horse.
Yeah.
This is not an ass that is riding into Jerusalem on. This is a stallion. This is a war horse.
Wow.
That he's riding on as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Majesty of all Majesties with his robes dipped in blood. He has won the battle. He has fought the battle. He has destroyed the enemy, and that's in Revelation 19 verse 11 and 15. And he will ride in here victorious with his saints and claim all the glory and win it all back.
Amen.
Amen. So, arm yourselves. What have you got to do?
Arm yourselves.
Amen. Praise the Lord.